Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. The military hold all kind of stories. Whether it be from the supernatural vein or of something more natural, these stories still freak me out. If you have a story you would like to share on the show in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story in a future episode. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy military stories sent in by viewers just like you. I was still in basic training when this happened to me. To give you a setting, I was in a long room with around 30 bunks on each side. Two columns in the middle at one end of the room where there were two doors, and at the other end were the bathrooms, and another set of doors to go downstairs. So, it was my end of the fire guard shift. So, usually we do these in pairs, and I had woken up the next two soldiers for their shift. They wake up and get out of their bunks and are getting their clothes to get ready. Once I go back to the desk, which was at the end with only the two doors, I hear a child's laughter. At first, I freeze my tracks and look over to the other guys and give them a, "Did you hear that?" type of look. They all nod, and we turn to face the bathrooms. After like two or so seconds of us staring, we saw someone run from one of the bathrooms to the other. Since it was late, basically around 2 a.m., I rubbed my eyes and thought to myself, maybe I didn't really see that. But one of my buddies comes over to me and says that he saw it too. So, we get our flashlights out, and he grabs a broom, and we go check to make sure there isn't anyone running around while they're supposed to be asleep. When we got to the bathroom, we just stand there, looking at the stalls, and we hear this metallic clicking coming from one of them, and we go to see what it is to realize that the stall door is locked. I crouch down to see if there was anyone there. There wasn't. We hear a loud thud come from the shower area, so we go to check that out too. We go into the showers, but all the curtains are in the way, and you can't see into the stalls very well. But from what I could tell, there wasn't anyone there. So as freaked out as we were at this point, we just head back to the room and let the other guys take over the shift. The next morning, the guys after our shift get us up and tell us that someone kept knocking on the laundry room doors. But whenever they go and check, no one was ever there. The metallic clicking never stopped, apparently, and they even found little handprints in the mirrors. After that, basic training became a bit more interesting and just a teeny bit more scary. These are two rather short experiences, but both are pretty creepy in my opinion. I was out on the dreaded night patrol, from 2100 hours to 0500 hours. It was the dead of winter, so we were covered head to toe. Everyone was afraid of the patrol, because locals often spoke of a ghost haunting those woods. We were moving in semi-formation for about 3 hours, but then we began to hear weird and odd noises. Everyone had their night vision on, so we looked around. We saw a couple of figures. Three were sitting and one was standing. Thinking it was a couple of our guys, we head over. We were about 9 to 6 meters away. The figures seemingly just disappeared. Now, we began to smell, like a faint smell, of gunpowder. The fog began to roll in with a heavy breeze. It was oddly nerve-wracking. We headed back to base and reported the strange incident to find there was a skirmish in the Second World War in that area. Just a day later, we were on day patrol. We purposely headed to where we saw the figures, out of curiosity. We found an artillery crater with fragments of bones around, and we immediately reported it. They brought a lot of people digging to find the tags, and after that, no one reported figures again. It was about dusk, and we were patrolling. They brought a lot of people digging to find the tags, and after that, no one reported figures again. It was about dusk, and we were patrolling. Tail End Charlie keeps halting the patrol. After a few times, I walk to the rear of the formation and ask why he keeps stopping us. He says, "Someone keeps walking up on the patrol. He'll walk up behind me, and then turn around and walk off." So I stay in the back with him, and sure enough, a World War II era uniform, kinda translucent, doesn't seem to be paying much attention to us. He walks up about 15 yards from us, stops, and turns around and walks off. We pick up and move. A couple of minutes later, it happens again. This all started in 2016. It was a late night, and we were being pressured to finish service on an HET trailer. Our chief was giving us a deadline of 1 week. Me, being a private at the time, who has had only one under his belt, was excited to teach a new PV2, the ropes along with the SPC, that taught me everything. Well, we were going good, and we hit a snag, and I spare the details out of, you know, just being boring. We work in a clamshell, like a smaller airplane hangar, but riddled with holes made of, like, plastic canvas. This had motion-activated lights, and behind us was a shipping container where we placed all our parts in boxes full of parts. So we decided to let stay the night so we can get it done and the chief won't get mad at us. This is where it began. This is where the hauntings began, I should say. Do you remember that witch video where the Arabic guy in the car was screaming and yelling at his white cloth, hunchback, cane walking, and screaming witch? Well, that terrified me when I saw it, because, well, we're in the middle of the desert, and it was pretty much the same desolate place. Sand and rock for miles upon miles. We took a break, and I brought that up, and we started talking about it. All of a sudden, the lights started coming on the complete other side of the clamshell, and then they all turned off, getting closer and closer to us. Thinking it was just an animal or something, we then watch parts of the tools fly off the trailer like they're being thrown or kicked off. We all looked at each other, and we decided that we definitely need to leave. Something weird is happening. Right as we start leaving, we watch all the boxes in the shipping container start falling over. The shelves holding the boxes are being pushed from behind. These are heavy boxes, and there were a lot of them, so that would have to have a lot of force. We then start to briskly jog to the parking lot, and looking back, all the lights are off now. We decided just to go home and sleep. The next morning when we got to work, expecting everything to be destroyed, everything was seemingly back where it was supposed to be, lined up and everything. I check the container to see if the boxes are messed up, and that's where all the color left my face. I've never been so sure about anything in that moment. There I saw it. An old beat-up straw broom. I was reluctant to pick it up at first. I walked out feeling woozy and called my buddy over. He was with me that night. He saw it too. The broom was lying there in the middle. He left that area to find the SPC, and when we went back, well, the broom had vanished. I spent so long looking for that broom, and I've not seen it since. I am certain we were visited by something that night. that had some really bad intentions. We just got out of there as fast as we could, and luckily fast enough before it could show its face. To this day, I've not felt comfortable alone in that clamshell. It did leave something behind, though. It haunted us, but that's another story. This story is as honest as I can possibly recollect the events that have happened. I was an E4 specialist in the Army Reserves and was called to duty in Kuwait and was there for 15 months. The details of my unit's mission are classified and have nothing to do with this story. Anyway, I was 20 years old and reasonably rebellious, and things happened. I received a company grade Article 15, which meant a month of extra duty. In a non-combat situation, extra duty means roving guard during the wee hours of the morning. On one particular morning, I remember overhearing on the radio for RG support in Zone 6 Air Force Tent City. It was reported that there were males present within female tents. This was punishable by UCMJ action. When I arrived, it was dead silent, but I saw possibly 6 or 7 skinny-shaped figures running in the distance. Mind you, Kuwait was prone to random sandstorms of varying severity. This one was maybe on a scale of 3 out of 10. I could see human-like shapes but could not identify any of them. I also couldn't tell if they were male or female. I approached one of the tents and followed procedure by announcing, "Male on the floor." I hear whimpering and quiet talking. I enter, and then the wind picks up, and I'm pushed backwards. At least it felt like a push. I see a blinding light and I'm on the ground and can't move. Then I awaken in my bunk with a headache and a sharp pain in my right shoulder several hours later. I was past due at my assigned post, but I had to report to the RG NCO about the events I had witnessed. He didn't know me and said I wasn't on the duty roster for the reported date. Confused, I went to my assigned post to discuss the previous events and my tardiness to my assignment. My 1SG would not hear of it, and I was deemed a crazy liar throughout my deployment. 10 years later, the only person that believed my story was the love of my life who killed herself by heroin overdose last week. During that time I knew her, she had never taken an illegal substance in her life. I don't know what to tell anyone else that has ever experienced anything similar because I really don't know what to do. I won't give you my real name. I am afraid it could reveal my whereabouts or possible position if someone else sees this and was involved. For the sake of anonymity, let's call me Joe. So, here we are again. Another deployment out in the vast, endless ocean. You see nothing but crashing waves in the deepest of the blue in every direction. You don't know loneliness until you are stranded 1 million nautical miles from anywhere. No one hears your screams or cries for help when you fall 150 feet from the flight deck of a monstrous 900-foot warship. The ship is so massive that even after years of sailing on this vessel, I still get lost. Thousands of Marines and sailors are boarded, as well as cargo, food, ammunition, and other supplies. Sailing through the Suez Canal, coming from a base on the east coast of the United States, we are making our voyage, experiencing engine failures along the way. Engineers are working overtime, cutting power, replacing broken parts, even having some things flown in for finishing repairs. I have a promotion exam coming up soon, so I was supposed to be studying. I hate reading, and I'm not good at memorizing material I'm not interested in. However, I could cheat. I found a way to get the answers before the exam. I know many of the supervisors who are in charge of administering these tests and have to take for advancements in rank. One, in particular, Officer Jones, a tall, beautiful brunette who I have taken a liking to. She is a new member of our staff and is still green. Wet behind the ears, you could say. I befriend her and quickly gain her trust and gain access to her stateroom. This was strictly prohibited. Enlisted sailors and officers are under no circumstance to be in any type of relationship. If caught and prosecuted in Captain's Mass, essentially your career is over. Dishonorable discharge. You may as well be a convicted felon, you'll sure as hell be treated as one. I begin to see Officer Jones regularly. We form a bond. I tell her how amazing she is, how lucky I am to have met her. I even said I loved her. My plans are in motion. Some time passes. It's now days away from taking this exam and a major promotion for me. Huge rank advance and in pay as well. I enter her stateroom where she lives and sleeps. I swipe her a copy of the test, and I take the answer sheet as well. She falls asleep. I quickly make my escape. I run to the admin office in the back of the ship. I know the code to get in. It's 3 a.m. and this space is empty now. I make many copies. I intend to sell my newly acquired answer sheet. These will be worth tens of thousands of dollars to other sailors. I run back to her room and place them back in her drawer, from whence they came. The coast is clear, I thought, smiling to myself and feeling smarter than everyone else. I begin approaching potential customers and assuring them that these are the real answers to the upcoming advancement test. Some days pass and I'm rolling in the cash. New customers daily as the test is soon. Word gets around that someone is selling test answers. I need more copies. I begin to get sloppy and become greedy with my newfound shady business deal. The money is just too good to resist. Now, I have what I wanted. I'm in my bed trying to memorize the order of the answers. A, C, C, B, D, C, A, D, A. This goes on like that for like 200 answers. Damn it. How can I memorize them all? Oh well, to hell with it. I'll do it later. I lay awake in my rack, contemplating how to solve my newfound problem. That's when something horrible happens. I make my way down to our space where sailors live and sleep, basically. Seaman Smith approaches me. Joe, we need to talk. He says, oh yeah, what's up? I know what you did, and I'll report you to the commanding officer unless you give me the answer sheet for free. Shocked and caught off guard by the blatant attempt to blackmail me, I utter, of course. I begin scouring my lockbox, frantically searching for another copy. I'm all out. Looks like I have to make one last trip to her stateroom to get another copy. Heading down the P-ways of the ship, I hear a familiar voice. Hey, Joe, a sweet voice calls out to me. I walk over to her, cautiously, and she invites me into her room once more. I know what you've been doing, and I won't say a word to anyone, but you cannot ever do it again. I'm not willing to risk my career over this. The only reason I'm protecting you is because I really care about you, and I'd leave before I change my mind. That seemed cold and harsh. Great. Just great, I think to myself. My cash cow is dead, I'm out of copies, and my girlfriend just dumped me. And now I have this pain in the butt trying to ruin me if I don't give him the answers. I can't even find my own copy. What options am I left with? Risking him giving the wrong answers and have him report me after he finds out, or the other, I could hatch an evil plan to cover my butt. How could I be so careless? How did I mess things up so bad? Who told him about my business, and what do I do now? These were all the questions I thought as I stood there with a blank expression. It's the big day. I take the test, and I'm confident I'm answering them correctly. Oh wait, let me get a few wrong. I wouldn't want to look suspicious and get them all correct. Days come and go, and the results are in. I scored in the 97th percentile of everyone tested. Hell yeah, I thought. Time to get promoted. I thought to myself, all the results are in. This is probably good, right? But all the while, I was still pondering how to solve the issue with Smith. He and I are due on watch soon as AFT lookouts. We reach the rear of the ship as the clock strikes midnight. There we stand in the cold, empty abyss on the flight deck. Flight. Yes, that is to have a double meaning for one of us. A raspy voice comes over the radio as we lurk around the flight deck, searching for debris, whales, and other ships. Seaman Smith, please report back to Combat Information Center, CIC, as it is called. Crap. I checked the watch bill. We are only on watch together for a few more minutes, and the deployment is ending soon. We both are rovers, and walk the decks of the ship. I've come up with a way to take care of Seaman Smith. How do I go about this? Could I gain access to the armory, maybe acquire a gun? No, it's too messy, it's too loud. I'd be caught for sure. I have got to solve this problem before I run out of time, though. I need to dispose of him. We throw all of our trash overboard. Maybe I can force him into the trash compactor one night. Days come and go, and I'm plotting my next move. Time is running out as there is now 1 week left on deployment. Tonight is the night I say to myself, we are on watch together for the last time. This certainly is my only opportunity, as he has been demanding all the money I've made or he will report me. I have approximately $10,000 left after sending a good portion to my brother at home. I already asserted I will give him the money after we return home. No good, he says. I want the money before we dock, or I'm reporting you to the CO. The pressure of his blackmail is bearing down on me, like a hot African sun, when it's 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Believe me, I was there. It's horrible. Maybe not as horrible as the predicament I find myself in, but still pretty bad. I get to the flight deck early, waiting on Smith, as I'm building up my courage to do what I gotta do. He's 5 minutes late now. Where is he? Has he figured out my plan? How come he never mentioned it to anyone? My palms are starting to sweat as I see my chief start walking towards me. I know he sees the worried look on my face. He approaches me, and I can feel my heart pounding in my head as he begins to speak. OS2, you're going to be training a new OS on watch tonight. A wave of relief washes over me, but then I realize my plan has gone to hell, and a new sickening feeling has found its way in my gut. What am I going to do now? I can't get my mind off Smith and my next plan as I'm walking the ship doing my half-assed job at training this new OS. I know he can tell something is up as I'm mentally not there. The watch comes and goes as normal. Another dark, cold night in CIC. Training for tonight has been completed. Off to bed, unsure of my fate. I'm now in a lightless P-way, heading towards my rack, mentally drained, and now afraid for my freedom and sanity, or at least what's left of it. Laying in my rack, drifting in and out of sleep, half awake, I notice something. The ship is rocking harder than normal. I've been on enough deployments to know what rough seas are like. This isn't just normal waves. Seeing uniforms and boots scattered throughout our living space, confused and disoriented, I find my uniform and get dressed, barely able to keep my footing, smashing into the bulkheads or walls with every step. Finally arriving to the flight deck once more, I see 40-foot waves crashing violently against the hull of the ship. Over the ship's intercom, we are now being informed that we have entered a hurricane and everyone is being urged to stay off the topside of the ship, as it's too dangerous to be outside with the high seas. A thought begins raining over me. A smirk forms across my face as a sudden realization hits me like a 10-ton hammer. I know it has to be done. Waves crashing violently. The ship is rocking hard against the unforgiving and endless ocean. Frantically, I'm scouring the ship knowing I'm nearing the end. I have to find him. Running up the steep stairs, looking in every space as my body is smacking up against the ship walls, the crew is in the mess hall eating chow. I begin to head AFT of the ship from my position, hoping I can spot him. He isn't waiting in line, nor is he eating. I begin remembering how he was training on the bridge, topside of the ship. Fighting through the crowds of Marines everywhere, I struggle to find my way in this chaos. Feeling eyes watching me, everyone is looking at me like a madman. Maybe I have gone mad. Eventually finding the stairwell to the bridge, I burst through the door. Staring at 10 officers and enlisted personnel, I find Seaman Smith and tell him he is needed on the west wing as a lookout for the ship immediately. Feeling the storm begin to die down, I know this will be my last chance to strike. No one will find him in the bottomless abyss. The deep blue sea is mad today, and it's only going to grow in population. If only by one. I manage to keep myself behind him walking in sync with Smith, while also keeping an eye out for anyone who could spoil my plan. As we pass by several spaces, I think to myself, could this be the place or that, but no, not quite. That is until I spot the perfect space. The safety railing is low here. He is a big man standing 6'3" and 220 pounds. I have to push hard as there is a security net designed to catch fallen sailors, whether by accident or suicide. The fall is over 150 feet from this part of the flight deck. Carrying a pipe wrench I stole from one of the engineers, I strike him over the back of his skull, his body limp. He quickly falls and leans over the rails. I squat down and grab him by his legs and hoist him over the edge, pushing with all his strength to ensure he avoids the safety net. I look down, seeing his body falling like a rag doll until it splashes into the depths. the water pulling him under as we are moving at full speed at 22 knots. I open the nearest hatch, moving through the ship with haste and fear, adrenaline pumping, and so is my heartbeat, fast. I arrive on watch, sweating, and wiping my brow. 8 hours pass as I try to hold myself together, realizing the severity of what I have just done. After 12 hours of no one seeing or hearing from Smith, a search party is formed, but to no avail. He isn't found, and a man overboard commences. We have moved several hundred miles since my last encounter with him. In that storm, no way in hell we could find him. 3 days pass and they complete their official report. He is ruled as a suicide, never to be found. We are soon arriving back in port, our deployment finally over. I have just committed the perfect crime. As we make our way back home, I pack my things in sea bags, feeling relieved that my business deals have been kept quiet, and now I have all this money. A new car, perhaps. That is when I notice a note in my pillow. It reads, "I know what you did during that storm." When I was about 21 or 22, I was in this unit in the Army and met an SFC, Sergeant First Class. He was older, about early to mid-40s, and we got along pretty well. He was a nice enough man, and sometimes, like everyone I've ever met in the Army, would make sexual jokes and innuendos, most that I learned to shoot a joke back at or simply ignore. Well, one weekend for drill, he had noticed my planner that was centered around witches and spells. It was something I had been slowly getting into and reading, and he expressed a ton of interest. Everyone in the unit had each other's numbers, so he'd constantly text me about it, asking me if I'd ever cast spells or how far I'd gotten into it. Fast forward to about a month after these constant messages, we were together again for a drill weekend, and I was in the living room area of the barracks we were staying in. I was on my laptop doing some homework when he came to sit across from me. Nobody else was around at the time. I was the only female in the unit, and it was past midnight. So I found this just a little weird. He asked me if I'd be interested in doing some meditation, because I had mentioned earlier in that day that I was stressed over my homework and working full-time. I said sure, and showed him where my room was. I didn't think anything of it. I was kind of put off by it, but I was too nervous to really say anything about it, and part of me believed he wouldn't do anything to hurt me. We sat on the floor, cross-legged, in the dark with some light from the TV. He started chanting something weird. He told me to imagine myself in a safe place, to let go of my stressors, and then he said, "Now you have to take off your shirt. You have to be nude for this to work." I literally froze. I felt like my stomach fell to my ass. I said, "You want me to take my shirt off? Why would I do that?" He was telling me it was because being nude made us connect to the earth and the magic in a more powerful way. I wrapped my blanket around me even tighter and shook my head. I told him he needed to leave and that I was tired and wanted to go to bed. He just sat there, staring at me, telling me to take my shirt off. And why didn't I want to take my shirt off? Why was I so afraid to be nude in front of him? I was honestly scared. I was shaking under the blanket, and I was afraid to call or text someone else in my unit. I mean, I was the one who let him in my room. After about 20 minutes of telling him I wasn't taking my clothes off, and him insisting that I should, he abruptly stood up and told me I wasn't ready to truly practice the art, and left. I didn't see him all the next day, and ever since that night, he never returned to drill. He never came back to the unit. I'm assuming he transferred or just retired, but honestly, good riddance. We don't need creeps like that in the Army anyway. Thanks for listening to these creepy military stories sent in by viewers just like you. Honestly, story number 4 had me really scratching my head the whole way. At first, I was like, how is this a scary story? But it really switched up there, didn't it? If you guys have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a military experience or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you guys enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much every other major podcasting platform. Be sure to check that out if you haven't. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. And if you made it all the way to the end, the code word is mind field. Let's see how many people make it to the end and confuse people in the comments. See you guys soon, and tally ho.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.